think for 1 minute that in a highly classified place like this, you can believe everything you read?
Change has come to America.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I am Sharon Gilbert. Everybody, welcome to August the 11th, 2009, and welcome to The Bunker.
We are here and looking forward to an interesting glance, at least interesting to us. If you come along for the ride and find it interesting, too, so much the better, at some of the weird things happening in the world around us. Because there's always something when you're looking out there. Even on a slow news day, there's something going on out there that just doesn't quite fit the normal paradigm that all of us are supposed to believe in leading a so-called normal life.
Normal life.
That's right.
You know, it has been really quiet.
Yeah, I mean,
disturbingly quiet out there. Honestly, I mean, yesterday, we have company again. My sister is now visiting, and she's going to be here. I'm very happy to say at least once a week, because she's got a job here in Shelbyville, so she's going to be staying with us on the weekends. But she has orientation this week. In the Orient. And you didn't know that Shelbyville was in the Orient, did you?
But like all the Ferguson gals, she's really quick, so they're giving her the Orientation Express.
Boom, chink.
Thank you. We're here all week.
It's been really, really quiet. In fact, yesterday I was just sort of ignored the news, but I did, as far as being online, but I watched it on the cable news channels. And I honestly thought, have they just recycled this from last week? Because I think I'm watching the same thing.
It's more the same stuff. It's fighting back and forth about the healthcare proposals going through the United States Congress and the really insulting accusations that average American people who stand up to express their dissatisfaction to our elected officials must somehow either be mind controlled by the Republican Party or fascists, Nazis, or something.
Or Klan members.
Or members of the Ku Klux Klan. That's what I was trying to remember. Thank you. John Dingell, representative from General Motors of Michigan, was asked today about the gentleman who wheeled his son, who is handicapped, and forgive me if I'm using that word inappropriately. I'm not sure if that's acceptable to use that term
anymore.
He's
a challenged young man.
He's a challenged young man, and his father was asking Representative Dingell why his son's condition would not be covered under this proposal working its way through Congress. And when asked about that by a reporter today, Representative Dingell said he hadn't seen this kind of backlash from the American public since the days of the Ku Klux Klan and the Civil Rights Movement. Like, excuse me, did you really mean to say that? I mean, Nancy Pelosi saying that protesters are coming out waving swastikas? Excuse me?
Hey, look, let's go back 2 years. All of the Bush-Hitler pictures. There was a Bush-Joker picture.
Mm-hmm.
All of the same things we're seeing now. And I would venture to say that all of this stuff is coming from the same source.
Right, because as we said,
the same Soros.
Yes, yeah. And but the bottom line is that this is all theater. This is all theater designed to take our eyes off the ball. So if you're getting caught up in the back and forth, as many well-meaning Christians who tend to be conservative do, caught up in the political byplay back and forth, just pull back and start looking around and seeing what else is going on.
Because the truth is, there's a whole lot more than life than sitting to wait and waiting to input 6 numbers and hit the execute button.
That's right.
We're still watching the Lost series.
Yeah.
There's stuff going on behind the scenes that you've uncovered, and you said you wanted to talk to the conference.
I've
got one I want to pull in too. So you go.
And that probably ought to get us through about 15 minutes. And I'm just going to scratch the surface here because I've not had time to dig in depth into what happened here. But we've talked many times about Tony Blair and his multi-faith initiative, which is essentially an ecumenical movement that openly espouses desire to implement the Millennium Development Goals, which were a number of goals, targets that the United Nations wants to hit by the year 2015. And when you're bringing people of multiple faiths together, I mean, there's nothing inherently bad about that unless it is a religious movement, which Blair's One Faith movement is. It is an ecumenical movement intended to bring people together and show how we're all worshiping mm-hmm. the same God, just in different manifestations or whatever.
Oh, look, it's church soup.
Yeah, and sadly, Rick Warren, who is arguably the most influential, certainly the most widely recognized evangelical Christian in the United States, is on the board of directors. Because for Warren, as with many religious movements in the world, it's all about works and not about the work that's already been done by Jesus Christ. This past weekend, one of the most influential, really one of the seminal megachurches in the United States, Willow Creek in Barrington, Illinois, which is northwest of Chicago, not far from where I went to high school, had its 15th annual leadership conference. Senior pastor there, founder Bill Hybels, brings together management types and public figures from all walks of life to teach leadership concepts to senior pastors. Okay, fine. However, I would argue, or I would suggest, that perhaps a leadership conference for pastors should focus on leadership in Christ as opposed to management techniques. I'm just a little bit bothered by that, but more so when you see the people that he brought together, one of which, by video conference, was Tony Blair, mm-hmm. former Prime Minister of England, recently converted Roman Catholic. We'll talk about that. A fellow who has gone through with his wife, Cherie, a lot of, indulged in a lot of really new age stuff. Yeah. I mean, the whole rebirthing thing down in Mexico, smearing each other with, you know, tropical fruits and coming out of a...
I don't know.
You don't want to go there, but I mean, it's... You know, why have Tony Blair addressing a leadership conference of pastors?
It makes no sense if you really want to preach the gospel, because we are told not to be unequally yoked.
Exactly.
It refers to two animals who are connected by a yoke. It's a mm-hmm. wooden device that actually goes over the backs of their necks. We're talking right. oxen here. And it forces the two animals to cooperate in order to pull in the same direction.
Right.
But if you're unequally yoked, it means one animal wants to go in his own direction. So somebody's gotta give.
Exactly. And I guess it's not surprising, because Rick Warren has followed suit, and one of his main influences is Peter Drucker, management guru, who is, again, not having fully researched it, again, I'll just say that he's a secular management expert. All well and good if you're trying to run a business, but if you're trying to run a church, I don't know that this is the kind of training that pastors should be absorbing. Now, not being a pastor, you know, maybe I'm off base here. We know a couple of pastors, maybe we can ask, but it seems to me that the business of the church ought to be left to a business person, and the job of the pastor should be to teach his flock and lead his flock in matters spiritual.
Well, you know how I feel about mega churches. I'm sorry, I don't like them. If you get to the size where you have to treat it as if you are a small corporation,
yes,
then you're too big.
Or a large corporation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Too big to fail. They need a bailout.
Yeah. You're way too big.
Yeah. So besides Tony Blair, Bono, the lead singer of the band U2, was another speaker. Also, David Gergen, who was advisor to four presidents. I mean, every time you see him introduced as a talking head on cable, you got to hear about how he advised Reagan, Nixon, Clinton, and
someday he'll be a head in a jar, having advised 12 presidents.
Exactly. So, but again, what good comes from a conference of Christian pastors gathered together to absorb wisdom from a documented New Ager like Tony Blair and a guy with a really skewed version of Christianity like Bono, who at his on their last concert tour had the crowd standing and chanting, "Jesus, Jew, Muhammad, all true." Now, this is a man who openly professes to be a Christian, and I know some well-meaning brothers in Christ who believe that U2 is a band of Christians. I'm sorry, you cannot be a Christian and hold that Muhammad is also true, because according to their holy book, mm-hmm. Allah has no son. It's not that you cannot hold
another version of Jesus.
Yes, you cannot syncretize two faiths with mutually exclusive ideas.
Well, here's one thing I think is extremely interesting about the whole notion of Tony Blair's leading the charge to unite churches. He wants to be the president of the EU.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a very interesting thing. Now,
isn't
again,
that?
We mentioned
he wants to be the world religion leader and the world secular leader. Why?
Gasp.
That's a description of something that should be familiar to all of us.
Yeah, of course, we're just foil hat wearing internet conspiracy theorists. So what do we know? But again, the disturbing part is that he is influencing evangelical pastors through the partnership with prominent evangelical pastors like Bill Hybels and Rick Warren. And that just ain't right. This is something I want to do a couple of shows on, you know, the longer interviews on A View from the Bunker, because it's really disturbing. It's easy enough for us to spot.
Do you think Tony Blair will come on the show?
I don't think we'll have much success there, but we'll give it the old college try. But it's easy to spot the enemies who openly oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's really difficult to spot are the guys who may honestly believe that they're working in Jesus' name and doing what Christ has called them to do. But it boils down to this. If it's about works, if it's about Rick Warren's one plan, or whatever he's calling it now, his peace plan to change the world physically, well, again, we know faith without works is dead. We get that. But when it
but
when
faith
the works,
in what? In whom?
That's the point.
Faith alone isn't it.
That's exactly the point. And works don't get you there. The works don't get you there. It's got to be about Jesus Christ. And if you're out there doing works for their own sake, then you've missed the whole. Then you've missed the whole point. You've missed the whole point. And sadly, a lot of, I think, well-meaning evangelicals are, you know, just course correction, just slightly, a couple degrees off the beam, and suddenly you're nowhere near the straight and narrow path anymore. So, you know, discern, brothers and sisters. The sad part is, so many American Christians don't know enough doctrine to know when they should be, you know, exhibit a little righteous anger. So anyway, but Tony Blair, as we mentioned,
he became a Catholic a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And
now,
know,
this was after the
well, I think it's extraordinary that he did it all, because as former PM, he was right up there at the top, representing in many ways the Church of England. I mean, the break between Catholicism and the Church of England was major.
Yeah. Henry VIII and, you know, wanting to
round heads,
be able to declare himself, you know, not married anymore. And then, of course, the religious wars of the 17th century. Oliver Cromwell and the Protestant Revolution, essentially, in England.
That gave birth to the United States.
Well, it did in many ways. And it's amazing how little history we understand and how the history that we've been taught really downplays the religious aspects of it. Yes, we're taught, well, they came here seeking freedom to worship in their own way, blah, blah, blah. But the guys who wrote the Constitution in the 1780s had a pretty clear sense of the religious wars that dominated England from the 1630s through about 1670, 1680, and even beyond that. I mean, they were still feeling the after effects of that, just as we in the United States still feel the after effects of slavery 140 years later. You know, the United States, the new fledgling United States, still felt the echoes of the religious wars that were fought. And there were, well, we could go into a lot of depth there, but the point is that you're right. For a prime minister of England to abandon the Church of England,
a prime minister who still wants to be in politics, who really does want to be the president of the European Union. We're talking the permanent president. Because right now it's a 6-month rotating office.
Right.
And if the Treaty of Lisbon is ratified this fall, which everyone is predicting it will be, they're saying even Ireland is going to toe the line.
They're going to make him keep voting until they get it right.
Exactly. Yeah. That may be why Bono is there.
Interesting thought.
Yeah, it could be. Well, there are probably other reasons as well that I won't get into now. If that gets ratified, and I think it very likely will, then beginning as early as January of 2010, we could have a 4 to 6 year, I can't remember what's in the document, but a very similar position to the United States, a president that has some longevity and some real power, and he wants to be the first one.
Yeah. Well, let's see if he can get past Javier Solana.
Javier Solana and Sarkozy.
Nicolas Sarkozy is also kind of angling. for position. And speaking, well, Angela Merkel might have some designs on that.
I know. They're all sort of salivating, wanting that spot, because it's a plum time to take it. Not only will you historically be the George Washington, so to speak, of the EU, but also it's a time that is going to change the entire earth because of what's going on in the Middle East, the whole Iran, things that are going on in China. There are so many things right now that place us on a precipice.
Yeah, and I think it's even more significant given the other story that you brought up today. And forgive me if I'm segueing too quickly.
No, no, I was about to go into it.
I think that your the ongoing conference, or you know, which is supposedly an interfaith conference, but seems to be heavily dominated by Shia Muslims.
It's so funny. Really, well, the conference you were talking about, of course, is over here in the United States and deals with Protestants, so to speak.
Right.
However, over in the other side of the world, there is a conference that's supposed to be a Sunni Shiite conference. It's an Islamic conference discussing the role of the Mahdi.
Okay.
And how that affects all religion, all politics, everything that's going on in the world right now. And, you know, Joel Richardson, is it Richardson over at WorldNet Daily, Joel?
I believe so, yes.
He wrote an article over there, and he brings up a good point. Imagine if the president of the United States, Obama, were to head, it's Ahmadinejad who's heading this up.
Mm-hmm.
If Obama were to head a conference on the very conference you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Leadership conference.
On taking
pastors.
A look at the role of the Messiah in world politics.
Yeah, right. Or if he were to head up the Ancient of Days conference in Roswell, New Mexico. There you go.
Well, it's really interesting. If you take a look at it, it's at the – we'll give you a link to this because, honestly, I don't know how to pronounce this website's name, and I apologize for that. If you take a look at the invitees list, Shia Sunni conference. Let's see here. I won't, again, attempt to pronounce the names, but Muslim Shiite. Sunni, Sufi with Shiite inclination. So that Sunni is actually Sufi with Shiite inclination. Shia. Christian. A priest named Anthony McRoy. Shia Muslim, Shia Muslim, doesn't say which one this gentleman is. And then finally, we've got Valeria Funera Piacentini, who's a Christian. So two Christians, one sort of Sunni leaning towards Shia, and the rest are all Shia.
Hmm.
So that seems like it's a little, it's not quite fair and balanced there. I don't know about this. But anyway, Ahmadinejad is in there talking about how the doctrine of Imam Mahdi belief can connect all the religions of the world.
Interesting.
It's the same thing that they're saying over here that Tony Blair is saying.
That we can all come together and we can all worship the same God in peace.
Exactly. And at the same time, in Israel, we've got groups of Jewish practitioners who are talking to a Muslim in Turkey about the possibility of using the Dome of the Rock as a place for their sacrifice, because it's all good.
In other words, the Dome of the Rock would become the Third Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I'm going to need to go back and reread Mike Heiser's Islam and Armageddon, because one of the central points of his thesis there is that there will arise a world leader that we would know as the Antichrist, we Christians would know as the Antichrist, who would be able to bring about this ecumenical movement that sounds, and going from memory now, very much like what Tony Blair's trying to create with his interfaith movement. Someone who can bring together Jews, Christians, and Muslims and say, look, you're all people of the book.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason for you to be fighting, and here's why, and can show a large percentage of those three faiths that we can coexist and all worship together in the same place, Jerusalem.
It's as if it's been planned that a large proportion of the world's worshiping people
mm-hmm.
come together into one kumbaya moment, and we're mm-hmm. going to unite because we all have this in common. So let's just, you know, be peaceful, and we'll go into this golden age that's about to dawn, and we'll just put aside our differences. And those of us who refuse to do that,
mm-hmm.
who claim the blood of Jesus Christ and say only Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light, we're the ones who are sort of left out in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the great apostasy, isn't it?
Yeah, and while we are not advocating any kind of whatsoever, even thinking about violent opposition.
No, heavens no.
I want to be very clear about that, Christ said we're to make disciples of all nations. But as he instructed the apostles when they went out, if a town won't hear the message, just shake the dust from your sandals as a reproach and move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And we're supposed to live peaceably with our neighbors and do good for them. But we aren't supposed to compromise on doctrine, because that's the key. There is one way and one truth, and that is Jesus Christ. Sadly, I think we're seeing prominent evangelicals softening the message, as we saw in Rick Warren's Peace Plan, where the original, the acronym there, the P was supposed to stand for plant churches.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's promote reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very significant.
Well, this kind of thing started about 10 years ago between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church,
mm-hmm.
trying to, and I think the Lutherans were kind of heading it up, trying to, okay, let's get together here because we're all worshiping the same God,
mm-hmm.
right? There are major differences between the camps, and I think it is tough to work out. And my prayer is that really the Jesus Christ who's preached in both types of worship houses of worship, that's the same Jesus Christ, but it's not always true. And I'm not talking just about the Catholic Church. I'm talking about the Protestant Church.
Mm-hmm.
There are preachers out there, I'm sorry to say, on the Protestant side, who don't really understand the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I've attended those churches. I've mm-hmm. sung in those choirs.
Yeah, where they don't understand that the whole purpose of Jesus' time here on earth in human form was to live a sinless life and then present himself as an unblemished lamb,
mm-hmm.
a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That was the whole point. Jesus' death on the cross was sad, but sad because it was necessary. Okay? It was not an avoidable tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
It was necessary. It had to happen.
I had a pastor years ago. He wasn't my personal pastor. I was singing in that choir, frankly, because I loved the music. But I was also attending a different church. I just sort of hung out in that church and sang in the choir. And it was a church that did these amazing good works. I mean, it was wonderful. But the pastor who was there at the time, I don't know where they've gone since then, the pastor who was there at the time, I asked him, how can you stand in the pulpit and talk about Jesus Christ as if he were only a good man,
mm-hmm.
when in fact he was the Son of God? He is the Son of God. He came in the form of humanity, a perfect sinless life, so that he could die willingly on the cross as our Savior and spill out his blood. So you and I have admission on his dime
mm-hmm.
into heaven. I said, that's why you're a preacher, isn't it? And he honestly looked at me and he said, I'll be honest with you, I just don't understand that whole cross thing. I find it hard to believe that any of that ever happened.
Hmm.
And I just said, why are you here?
Yeah, most foolish.
To do good.
Yeah.
That was his answer, to do good.
You might as well join the Peace Corps or serve as a volunteer for the PTA.
If Jesus Christ did not rise, if he did not die and rise from the grave,
yeah.
then he is preaching foolishness.
Exactly. If our hope is in this life only, then we are most miserable of all men.
Amen.
Yeah, you might as well worship Dr. Phil.
Oh,
I mean, seriously. I mean, if that's all it is, if it's just you're looking for a good philosophy to follow to be nice to other people, you might as well, worship Mahatma Gandhi or somebody, and there's no point to it. Don't know why, but the way the universe is set up, sin requires a blood sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
How many churches have we attended where we actually hear blood preached.
Not very often.
No.
And it used to be not only preached, but it was in a lot of the hymns.
Yeah.
And that's my big beef, and I won't get into it too much here, but I do love some of the newer songs. It's just so many of the newer songs, there's no blood. It's a bloodless mm-hmm. service.
Yeah.
And we're not talking violence here. We're talking about the pure blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Right. And that's
was required by God.
Right. Don't understand it. If I had been created in the universe, I might have set it up to be, you know, a little more neat and clean, but I'm not. I wasn't there when the rules were written. That's the way the universe operates.
It's his universe. He gets to make the rules.
Yeah. So anyway, like we said, just be discerning, because there are wolves in sheep's clothing operating, and they're a lot tougher to spot than we think.
And if you're having a tough time, just check out your sandals. Are they covered in dust? If they are, kick it off and keep on walking.
Yeah. Well, email if you've got comments, cool, get questions, suggestions, news, tips. We appreciate those. Send them to radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
And you can also check us out on Facey Spaces and Twitter.
All the social networking sites that we're ruining for our kids because they're not cool anymore because us old people are on them. Yes.
That is so true. I want to make sure that I mention this, that we give credit where credit is due. Thank you very much to Ray, R-E-Y, for your amazing donation at PayPal. You know, you guys who are helping us out that way, you just don't know. And one day we'll all be together in eternity, and we will get to talk about things. And I know many of you, when you help out, you are sacrificing. You really
are.
And we're doing our best to turn that sacrifice into a work that is reaching lots of people. And if we can make a difference in your lives, boy, I thank the Lord for it. But we're not going to take the credit. The credit goes to our Lord and Savior and to those of you who are helping us out and praying for us.
Amen to that. So until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say loud and clear, a better day is coming soon to get us out of here.
A new day coming. edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.